This is How to Hear the Voice of God, Part 5. And, you know, last week we ended up with stories. You remember the guy over in the Philippines? We were talking about Rhema, Rhema word. That's it's the same word right here in John 15, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That word there is Rhema. And that's that now word that's spoken. And I'm going to give you a couple of verses here, then we'll kind of pick up. And of course, I'm in Romans chapter 10. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's Isaiah. And Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Because there's more to believing. You remember I've told you this, to a Hebrew, they wouldn't say what's your doctrine. They would just watch how you live, because how you live is what you believe. And I wonder today, and I really want to talk to some people, because I want to find out, you know, because I know you're around a lot of people, and they, maybe they grew up in church, but they don't go, and they, you know what I mean, they're just always, they're not bad people, they're good people, but they just, I'd like to know, well, do you ever really think about, I mean, what do you think about in life? I mean, you just come to work and you raise your kids. I mean, what's your goals? Do you have any? Is it just to make it to retirement? I mean, is that your goal? Your goal in life is to get a camper and travel the U.S. when you're retired. I mean, is that your whole mission in life? Is that what it's, you know? Well, I believe in God and all this other stuff, but, you know, he's asking the court, who? They have not obeyed the gospel. They heard the gospel, but in the word believe here, in the word hearing, has in it the obedience to it. You know what I mean? Okay, you heard, but in that hearing is also an obeying. That's what I want to say. It's not just I heard it, but I heard it, and the word that we've been using for so long that starts out with faith is I heard it and I responded to it. So when you go back in John, listen to this. Let me find the verse here. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now here's this receiving. So what does that mean? So there's a hearing, and then there's a responding to that hearing. You know, the receiving. I received it. It just didn't go in one ear and out the other. I responded to it. And to those, what he's saying here is to those that responded to this, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. So that's what Paul is saying here, going back to the prophet Isaiah. They have not all obeyed. They've not all responded to it. They heard the gospel, but they did not obey it. They didn't receive it. They didn't hear it. And then he says in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that word there is the word rhema. It's not a hearing the whole Bible read to you. You know, I know there are certain preachers, I'm not against it, but like when, you know, I guess this is an old Baptist tradition. I'm assuming you guys probably know more than me, because we didn't do this, but they would say, let's stand for the reading of the word. You know, so they would, everybody would stand up and he would read a few passages, and everybody would sit down and he'd go into preaching on those passages. That's not the Rhema word. This is not the Rhema word. This is not the living word. The living word is a person named Jesus Christ. This is the written word. Points me to it, and it's good. I love the scriptures. But Rhema word is not hearing the Bible read to you. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by this Rhema word. And this Rhema word comes only from God. It is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now the Word dwells in us. And God speaks that Word to you in a unique way. And I find that amazing. Because God speaks to me different than He's going to speak to you. Because you know what? He made me and He knows what makes me tick. And He knows how to talk to me. He knows what gets my attention. I mean, I know this. I mean, because if I come and say, well, this is how it is, it is going to speak to you the same way He spoke to me. No. What makes you tick is different than what makes me tick. And it's unique. It's unique. And in that Rhema word, Let me go over here. I don't know if I can find this verse. Here, I gotta look here real quick. Should have wrote these verses down, but oh yeah, here it is. I gotta highlight it. There's no fear in love. I'm in 1 John 4:18. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's, I mean, we know God is love, but keep in mind here, I'm talking Rhema word. And when I say perfect love casts out fear, that's not the general knowledge that God is love. All Christians will tell you, well, God's love. God so loved the world. So it's not the general knowledge that God is love that casts out fear. And I know this because God is love and He's been in me for years, but I still had this fear of Him. You know what I mean? I still had this fear. Fear that if I do this wrong, He's going to get me. If I don't do this, you know what I mean? All these things. So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and yet still have this fear. So there's only one thing that's going to cast out this fear. Perfect love. And that perfect love, I want to say, is a Rhema word that comes in my spirit that causes the fear to leave. I mean, you can go to church your whole life and be afraid of God. I mean, you can't. I know the majority of Christians are afraid. And they'll tell you it's a good thing. If it's in the right perspective, you know, we got to go to, one day we'll do a lesson on Proverbs and we'll talk about that, but I know for me that fear didn't begin to subside until I heard Him speak. And I could go over this, and we talked about this a little the other day. I feel more comfortable talking to you guys because I know you guys. I can have more liberty. But one of the first things that really broke down the walls of this fear for me was a song. And it wasn't even a Christian song. It's just a song I stumbled across because I like this guitar player and I think he's just smooth on the guitar. And I like this singer. And they were both collaborating together and they sung this song that this guy wrote. And it's called Your Love. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Your Love is making me sideways or something like that. And it's just a little love song. And as I was listening to that song, I just heard the Lord say, I'm singing this song to you. Now, that may be corny, but you know what I mean? I mean, I'm a guy, I'm a Marine. Don't sing songs to me, but I'm telling you why. I was broke up. You know what I mean? And I knew this was from God. It wasn't, you know what I mean? I just, And see, that's how I know, because, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, I'm supposed to be a tough guy, you know. I'm not like all of a sudden. I don't melt like that. But I melted. I mean, a rhema word will melt you. You want to talk about the fire of God? A rhema word will melt you. And it just, in a word, half a sentence, my fear of God vanished. You know what I mean? And from that, it's grown. So I have learned now, because, you know, sometimes in life you do stupid things. And sometimes in the middle of the stupid things or stupid thoughts or something happens to you and you get angry and you feel like punching somebody in the eye, or, you know, maybe it's just a guy thing, but, you know, I mean, you get mad. And then, you know, a fear can set in and say, oh, look, you're supposed to be a Christian. You thought about punching that guy in the eye because he, you know. So then you don't want to run to God about that. You're just hoping that swept under the rug. But I've learned in that, because that rhema word cast out fear, I can go to him and tell him truthfully. And you know what? He already knows. He already knows I felt like punching the guy in the eye. You know, and then he told me I was going to punch him if you didn't. He didn't really say that. But you know what I mean? So you learn to go to him because of that. Perfect love cast out fear. It's that rhema word. And the voice that comes intuitively, we've been talking about intuition, the voice that comes intuitively, or the showing of pictures in the imagination from the spirit, inside of that, it's called the still small voice. And if you guys have experienced this, he's not a gate crasher, it's a still small voice. And his voice is sometimes known by its absence, and what I mean, that you can hear all the other noise going on in your head, and all that other noise is just chaos, and then you realize the one voice that'll bring peace and order and wisdom, that voice is missing. So you've got to steal the other voices. And it's Just in common, like, I have a bunch of things going on at one time. And I've learned, because we have radios, and a dispatcher will call you on the radio. And I can turn my radio way down, my company radio, and still yet, when they say, in Escalus Valley, dispatcher, the signal maintainer, Jim Moore, over, I hear it. I could be doing all kinds of things. And you know, my ear, you know, I could be working, I'm like, did they just holler at me? You know what I mean? Because my ear is tuned to that. And I've been around other people from other departments who ain't used to getting those calls. They're like, how did you hear that? Because I tuned my ear to that. All other noise going on, and you hear that. So you got to learn to steal the other voices. And sometimes, in the chaos of just work, I'm just talking natural stuff here. I got to turn this off. I got to turn this down. I got to turn this up. You know what I mean? So that I can hear the clear message. I got to cut all the other noise out. Christians don't know how to cut all the noise out. We live in a generation of iPods and earbuds and music. Just thinking of a word here. Do you know where the word music comes from? It comes from the word muse. And what does muse mean? I mean, you know, you're my muse. You're my entertainment. You know what I mean? So today's generation don't know how to be quiet. They always got some noise going on, because, you know, when you're quiet and you're just alone with your own self. I mean, if I don't like myself, I don't really want to be alone with myself. So I want to be mused. I want to be mused. So you got to learn to turn that other noise down. God never shouts louder than the other voices. He's not going to outshout the other voices. I got to listen for his voice. So here's a question. What does his voice sound like when that flow of intuitive words come? And how do you know it's the voice of God? I mean, isn't that the question? How do I know that's God? How do I know that's God, not me? Did God really say? What's it sound like? Well, since I've never heard it in an audible voice, I can't say the tone, the decibel level of the voice. But all I do know is this, that it always comes with a lifting of my spirit. Always. I emphasize the always. God has never, ever, one time spoke to me, no matter what I've been in the middle of, with a voice of condemnation. Ever, never. Never. It's always lifted me up. I could be right in the middle of it. Never has he said, I'm ashamed of you. Not one time with the lifting of my spirit. And I'm going to tell you this from my own experience. It always comes with excitement. It always comes with holy excitement. It comes with holy joy. I mean, the first time, I mean, I'm like, I'm amazed. God just spoke to me, little old me. I heard a guy say one time, and I laugh about it now, but this guy said, there's no way. And I dreamed this beforehand, and then it come to pass. Twice, I heard a guy say, there's no way God spoke to Brother Jimmy and not to this other elder, because this other elder's been in the church for way longer. And I thought, man, there's Eli and Samuel. I mean, you know, I didn't know nothing. All I know is I heard him speak. Something changed. Holy excitement came. And it is holy excitement. And you know, I mean, God knows. And you know, with that hearing of that voice, I run to the church that I was at, and I thought, this is great. I know what to do. And I run around there like little Joseph in my little dreams. And now I'm here. You know, because he spoke to me. He didn't speak to them. It was for me. But I didn't know. And you know, God didn't get mad at me about it, say, well, you messed that up. I know that I couldn't count on you. He knew what he was doing. Knew what he was doing. He saw the end from the beginning. He knew I'd mess it all up. But he did it anyway. And he was right there with me through the whole thing. When he speaks, it brings a freshness. That's the only word I can think of. And my whole being just comes together and says, yes. It always clears the fog. It brings light. It cuts through that fog and confusion and shows things how they are. It comes with peace. You notice what I'm telling you. So if you're wondering, is it the voice of God? Does it bring peace? Does it bring joy? Does it bring excitement? If it don't, it ain't the voice of God, because I promise you, his voice is going to be uplifting. And you think, well, no, God's not that. Trust me, he is. When the Word became flesh and walked among us, you don't think that even the words out his mouth was uplifting to people? Shouldn't this daughter of Abraham, who's been bent over these 18 years, be made whole and just... Golly. I mean, that's why the crowds just gathered around him. Did never a man spoke as this man. He don't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. Why? Because he's life itself. So when he speaks inside of me, it's never with condemnation. It's always life and freshness and joy and excitement. It dispels... Let me say it this way. There's always an absence of anxiety with the voice of God. And you know, I want you to hear what I'm saying right there. There's an absence of anxiety with the voice. It dispels the anxiety. It never brings anxiety. It's always, he always brings peace. And with it comes the strength to do it. Now, some people may say, well, and I know these are churchy things, but I've heard people say, well, there's a calling on your life. You know, people will say, there's a calling on your life to the ministry. And then some people, well, I feel God called me to ministry. And then with that comes this great anxiety. Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not educated. You know what I mean? That's old covenant Moses stuff. I'm just telling you the truth. It's old covenant Moses stuff. But we think, oh, it's a heavy burden of calling. Listen, I don't come up here with this heavy burden and like, oh God, I got to go preach. It's like, my God, man, I can't wait to tell you guys what the Lord is doing in me. I want the same thing to happen to you. I want that excitement, that joy to happen. So when God's word comes in you, it's not, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish that. I mean, that's too big of a task. With his word comes the confidence, comes the strength to perform the deed that he said. If he said to do anything. It comes with that blessed assurance. That blessed assurance that I can do it. He never gives an impossible command. And what was the word? With men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I think about how we got this building. You know, we rented that other side over there. And we wanted to get the whole building, but, you know, we couldn't go to the bank. We couldn't get finance. Couldn't get nothing. We just wondered, what are we going to do? And the Lord just gave it to me. Sent the contract up this way. It just came to me out of the blue. I mean, I couldn't have thought of that. I don't know nothing about real estate and all that other stuff, but it came to me, even the price for the building, and pow, there it was. We went to them, and they're like, yeah. I mean, I couldn't think of that. But when the voice came, and what did we do? We were obedient to the voice, and here we are. You know what I mean? Couldn't think of that stuff. I mean, you know, and I remember the anxiety of trying to figure it out. Well, we couldn't figure it out. And then pow, there it comes. So it's not, and I want you to hear me here, it's not trying to believe God. And when I say that, you know, people say, well, I'm trying to believe God for my healing. Trying to believe God for my finances. And then what do? We got to quote scriptures for it. You know, I'm just going to keep quoting this scripture. I'm going, you know, I ain't got it yet, but I'm believing God for it. I'm going to try really, really, really hard. That ain't rainbow word. That ain't how it works. All that trying just brings about a religious anxiety. And then you got all the Pharisee people in the church that said, well, you know, maybe you don't have enough faith. Maybe you ain't believing God. And you know, they put all this other stuff on you. It's like, well, I gotta try harder. I gotta try to manifest his finances. I gotta try to manifest this stuff. You know what that is? That's kind of really, and forgive me for using this word, but it's really witchcraft. That this is stuff of bewitched, and I dream of genie that she can twitch her nose and poop, it comes. You know what I mean? It just poof, and there it is. So I'm gonna believe God and poof, there it is. I'm telling you, that ain't how he operates. I used to think it was, because listen, I've been, you'd have to loan me money to tell me I was broke. That's how broke I've been. And I know about it. And I'd pray to God, and I'd believe God, and I'd go check my mail, and not one check ever came into mail. And I always think, where's these people? I would hear stories about, well, so-and-so came up and said, well, you know, the Lord told me to give you this Cadillac. Not one stinking Cadillac. Not one. Not even a Volkswagen. Nobody ever came to me and said, brother, the Lord has put it on me to pay your light bill. Not one single time I lived in the dark. This is the way it was. I'm believing God. I believe I'm trying really, really hard. And I know now, looking back, he was teaching me this ain't how it works. Don't get caught up into that. His word brings peace. Brings joy. It brings excitement. And when it And when that word comes, it dispels the anxiety. If I got anxiety, guess what? It ain't a word from God. It's pretty easy to tell the difference. Now you want to know how God, is that God? Does it bring anxiety? If it does, guess what? It ain't from God. If it brings excitement and joy and peace, you just heard from God. And then confession of his word comes after he's spoken to you. Not before. Before I'm in religious anxiety. I'm quoting scriptures trying to make it happen. I confess the thing after he speaks. After he speaks, then I confess it. What does that confess mean? It means say the same thing as. And that's easy because he just spoke to me. You know what I mean? God spoke to me and said, I love you. And I confess it. He loves me. Yeah, do you see how easy that is? So I could try to fester it up inside of me and say, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And then, you know, but does he really? You know, the same thing we've been talking about with Jacob. Does he really? Do I really have the blessing? I mean, I don't know. So I'm all, things in my life ain't going as good as I thought they would be, and I don't know if he really loves me. You know, I like watching old, I like reading and studying and watching stuff like on the Knights Templars. And you know, they were in search of the Holy Grail and all the wars that they fought trying to get the Holy Land. They would go down there and slaughter the Muslims, take the Holy Land and the Christian pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And then all of a sudden the Muslims would come back in and wipe them out. They would, you know, this been happening for 2,000 years, still happening over some stupid piece of real estate. And then they would say, God has forsaken us. God has turned his back on us because we lost the war. I'm thinking, do you guys ever even read the Bible? But they couldn't because they wasn't allowed to read the Bible. Only the Pope had that thing. So they didn't know, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. They didn't know about new covenant, Christ in you. So I see those things and I say, man, it's no wonder they were the dark ages. So when he speaks, I confess it because he just spoke it to me, and then I know he's going to do it. Or as a matter of fact, it's done already. Like when he gave me over this building, my anxiety went away. It was over. It was done with. I knew we had it. And then you're just waiting for it to manifest. I'm resting. See, the Christian life is really easy. It really is. You don't have to do nothing but believe and rest and be filled with joy. Who wouldn't want that? I mean, who wouldn't want that? I mean, rest, be filled with joy, holy excitement. I mean, he said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said, learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. It's not hard. But if I don't have a word from God and I'm trying to make it happen by repeating scripture over and over and over and over, and it just gives me a religious anxiety headache. It drains my peace. My peace, I leave with you. But we can come into the church and be doing what we call spiritual things, quoting scriptures all day long, and it drains my peace. Remember, perfect love cast out this fear. This religious anxiety, it leaves me in a state of confusion as to why and as to how and what's going on here. But a word from God that comes and gently, I know he always speaks gently speaks within, a word that brings peace and joy and freshness, all that anxiety is gone. Now this thing is characterized by the word flow. What I mean by flow? Out of your belly shall what? Flow rivers. That word out of your belly, that's out of your innermost being, shall flow. And so with God, there's always a flow. It's never forced. If You're trying to make it happen, trying to think it through, trying to pray it through, trying to prove it, trying to squeeze it into your little box. You know what all that is? That's reason. It's reason. And I've told you, God never speaks through your reason. You find out how much reason that you live by when he speaks, because generally it turns the reason that you had on its head. I mean, it really does. I mean, you know, when the Lord spoke to me, you know, on another occasion, do you believe me like you believe him? And then he says, I was never angry. Wait a minute. All my doctrine just crumbled. But I knew it was him. I knew it was real. So now it just flowed and I believed it. But I, I'm kind of like Mary here. I don't know how it is, Lord. You said it. I believe it. I responded to it. I'm filled with joy and peace. I don't know how. You know what I mean? It just flows. So there's not a trying to, okay, God said that. But then, hang on, God, stop. I got to go see where this fits in my doctrine. It doesn't fit my doctrine, God, so really I don't think that was you speaking. Where do we start out? Who hath believed our report? They heard the gospel, but they didn't obey. You know what I mean? We're too busy over here. We heard, but we're too busy trying to fit it in our little box. When I'm talking flow, and it could even be one word, and then maybe two words, maybe it comes into a whole sentence. God has never really spoken to me more than maybe a sentence at a time, and I hope for more as I grow. But man, what he can do with two or three words! I'm telling you, what he can do with two or three words. Do you believe me? Four words. Stood me on my head. Crushed everything. You know, four words. It's amazing what he can do. And in that, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not studying it. I'm letting it flow. And as I let it flow, more comes. And there's no struggle. I'm not no trying to make it happen. Nothing I've got to prove. You know what I mean? God gave us about this building. Well, nothing I had to prove to anybody. God gave it. Boom. We do it this way. Pow. We did it. There it was. I wasn't even worried. Are they going to? Yeah. Because he done, worked it out. He speaks. It flows. All I do is listen. And when I'm listening at that intuitive level or the imaginative level, there comes a word or words, and sometimes it brings about a whole new concept, a new way of looking at things that you've never thought before. And it's amazing, like we talked about the guy right out of the blue. I see it like I never saw it before, and with that comes peace. And, when I keep going back to how we, worked out this deal with this building. The goal is like always ahead, but you had it since God spoke to you or showed you, and then you're just waiting on it to manifest. You know what I mean? You're just waiting on it to come about. Like, you remember we were talking about Malcolm's wife, Nancy, when she had that cancer and her heart condition, and she's waiting on a word from God. But when she had it, she knew. I mean, the doctors are still saying, well, our stethoscope says you're going to die here within a month. But she already had it, and she's resting in it. She's waiting on it to manifest. And it did. And sometimes, we've talked about this before, the name of a person will come in your mind so strong, or a picture will drop in your mind of somebody, full blown. I mean, there it is. And I've learned immediately to step aside and pray for them people. Don't put it off. I mean, somebody you haven't thought about in years, and then boom, the picture's in your mind, maybe some event or some, you know. And I know, as I was going over this lesson, you know, you start thinking about that. And even as I'm telling you, I bet right now there is 18,000 people flashing through your mind. I need to pray for them, need to pray for them, need to pray for them. Well, immediately with that comes anxiety. Because now you're trying to remember, okay, wait a minute. And now we're back to, I need to make me a prayer list. I need to start writing. And that's not it. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, this thing comes out of the blue. I mean, I'm out here, you know, working, you know, on the railroad. We're changing a piece of rail out. And, you know, we're talking about get the measuring length, and we got to put the anchors on and saw, and we're doing all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, man, I haven't thought about Scott in 8 years. Need to go pray for him right now. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, that's it. And it's a word of intercession. And this word is kind of, the Hebrew word of intercession is a word wherein, in the Hebrew, it means to light upon unexpectedly. To light upon unexpectedly. It's got nothing to do with prayer lists. Intercession means kabam, suddenly I find myself in the situation of prayer. And when I say nothing to do with prayer list, prayer can bring condemnation to you. And you're saying, how in the world can prayer bring condemnation? Well, the way we used to do it is we would open our services up with prayer. So the preacher would get up and he would say a few words, we would sing a song, and then you led in prayer. Well, as you're going around shaking hands, and because we shook hands and hugged everybody's neck about 16 times a service, then he's going, yeah, we did. People whisper in your ear, pray for me. Pray for my back. Pray for my, you know, whatever. So you got 42 people. So then you start praying. And then if you're like me, I'm trying to remember. And then you get up and you think, wow, I got everybody. And then when you get up and you sit down, you're like, oh, God, I forgot him. Oh, you know what I mean? So now I don't really want to look at Oakley no more because he asked me to pray for his back, and I forgot. Oakley's up there like, I'm never going to get healed. Asking to pray for me, didn't pray for me. You know, so you're saying, that's not it. All that is religion at its peak. Religion at its best, causing trouble in the church. That's what it does. This ain't it. Now, I know people come to you for prayer. And I'm going to tell you how you can answer them honestly. I will pray for you when the Lord brings you to my mind. Other than that, you are wasting your breath. And I'm telling you, and I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or rude, but you can't pray for somebody until the Holy Spirit brings it about. You cannot. Patty's giving me that look of death. But we got to talk about after we get done here. But you understand what I'm talking about here.
You mean in an intercessory way?
Yeah. I'm talking this kabam, this intercession, this. Yeah, I mean, we go and things get on our mind, and we're praying for our kids, and you know, we're praying for what I'm going to say, normal things in life. We do in our conversations. You know, somebody's been sick for a long time, and you're praying, and I understand all that stuff. You're waiting on a word from God, but what I'm talking about here is this intuitive, bam, pray now. You know what I mean? This, I've got to go back in the store here or the restaurant and pray for this person. I've got to right now. I don't care who's looking. I've got to do it. That's what I'm talking about. You know, just getting a list up here and, okay, you know, pass this around, put on the list, who wants to be prayed. You can do that stuff if you want. It's kind of why we don't do that prayer here. You know what I mean? I get fussed at, and you know, it's like, well, you never take prayer requests. Well, if anybody needs prayer, for one, just ask. And number two, we pray for people and they didn't ask. Pastor Jack didn't ask for prayer Sunday. Felt led to pray. That's how we operate. You understand? I mean, I'm not against it, and we can join each other in prayer and all of those other things, but I've been around churches long enough that a lot of prayer lists are just, I remember going over, and I remember this one lady, I always thought she wore a wig. I don't know if she did or not, but it was, but I'm telling you, every single time they asked for prayer requests, this lady went into a 20-minute spiel. I thought, your life must be atrocious. You know, I mean, and she could be talking about the stupidest stuff. Could you please pray for my cat? He meows all night long and sleeps all day. I mean, you think, but you know, we're like, oh gosh, why did you open up the floor for this? But so when I'm talking about this intercession, I'm talking about true prayer. True prayer is sharing the prayer life of Jesus. It's sharing the prayer life of Jesus. That's why we pray in His name. That is, we pray as He. So if we're praying as He, we should be praying His prayer. And that's what I'm talking about. He puts His prayer in us right now. Boom. Now, I'm just going to throw this out. Throw this out there. Why would God do that? You ever wonder? I mean, do you ever ask yourself this question? Why would God bring somebody to your mind, Patty, that you haven't thought about in 5 years and put this burden on you to pray? Why? I used to think about prayer all the time. I would think, well, God, you know what they need. I mean, the scripture says, you know what we need even before we know how to ask. Oh, why do you want me to pray? God, just fix it. Whatever you got to do, fix it. You know, you ever ask these questions? I mean, you should. You could be real with God and just, I mean, because this is how it came about in prayer. I would say, God, why even pray? You already know everything. I mean, I can't, you know, come to you and say, well, pray for Oakley's back. You know, he told us, and God said, oh, I didn't know. It's a good idea. I'm glad you brought it to me. You know? So I'm thinking, God, if you know everything, then why do you want me to pray for him? It sounds stupid. I mean, to me, I'm just, with my reasoning mind, God, who's all power, all knows everything, God, you already know. You fix it. I give you permission if you need it. Fix it. But that's not how he operates, because I'm telling you what, he does nothing in this world except he do it through his people. So he needs you. He chose it that way. And see, guys, people will roll over in their grave if they heard me say that God needs you. He chose it that way to need you. And your part in this is he puts a prayer in you and you pray that prayer. And it's through the words that you speak. So it starts out from a hearing from God, this intuition, this imagination that he feels it. He puts his prayer in there, this word, and then what am I doing? I'm confessing it, I'm speaking it, I'm praying it out to the person, and the results take place. So he is wanting to heal, but he wants you to participate in it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm probably making a mess of it, but you understand what I'm saying? Because He rules the planet through his people. God didn't stop the storm until Jesus said for it to stop. You understand? So with your words come life, or could come death. But he is life, so his word is only life. You understand what I'm saying? Because in him is no darkness at all, neither variableness of turning. Not even a shadow. Not any darkness at all. So his word is only going to be life. My words can bring death. But only when I hear from him. That's why it's so important. You know, we've been doing this prayer. That's why it's so important ahead of time. Just don't come to pray. Hear what the prayer the Lord has put in your heart and pray that prayer. That's the prayer that He wants. You know what I mean? So it's going to start with God. That's praying in His name. True prayer is sharing the prayer life of Jesus, which means He first puts that prayer inside of us. Then He puts the enabling power to pray that prayer through. It's called the Holy Spirit. And then, and only then, is God's will done, because it started with God and goes to God. So when you read about God's will, you know, that's the whole thing we're talking about. And even in the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done, because He puts it in you. He puts the prayer in you, and then you pray it. So people are like, oh, I want to, one day the kingdom's going to come. Too late. But how is His will done? God willed that this person be healed. That's His will. So how's His will done? Through you hearing the word inside of you, you hearing, you obeying, you responding to that word, praying that prayer back, God's will then is done. It started with God, it goes back to God. You see, we have an integral part in this thing. I wish people could get a hold of that. So we got to be aware of those times when suddenly a name or a situation is brought to our remembrance. And you remember we've talked about the word remembrance, how that is bringing something over here right into the present, something that was in the past, bringing it into the present. So there's a remembrance there. God has brought something to your remembrance. So prayer is not a legalistic matter. Isn't it amazing how we're talking about how to hear the voice of God and we're talking about prayer? Got to have that inner voice that speaks to us. And guys, I want to tell you this. This doesn't just apply to ministry. And I know people think, well, this is just for Sunday morning church. What sermon are you going to preach? How many people's relationships are starved because they don't have a word from God? And the wisdom in that relationship to make it work. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have a word from God in that. And that brings about the whole word counseling, you know. True counseling is an adventure in listening. We listen as people share, but also listening to the Holy Spirit as to what the Holy Spirit has to say to them. And the whole purpose of the counseling ought to be to teach them, to show them, to hopefully put in them a desire for themselves to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know? That's what I hope to do with this. I mean, if you haven't heard, I hope to create in you, I want to hear. Because trust me, God is speaking to you now. He's ever been speaking. He spoke you into existence. He desires to have conversation with you. And even me, I have to remind myself of me. Because sometimes I think, well, I haven't heard from God for a while. And I'm thinking, well, why is that, buddy? You've been too busy, too noisy. Now, in this counseling, the church has gone to head reasoning here. They get degrees in psychiatry. They become counselors, and that's okay. I'm not against education. But don't bring it into the church. We're the church, we're the body of Christ, and we minister how? From the mind of Christ. There's a verse that says, but we have the mind of Christ. I mean, that's where counseling comes from, where ministry comes from. I mean, people pay big money for what they could get for free because somebody's got a degree up there on the wall. They spent 4 years at Stanford. Now they're a registered psychologist or whatever. That's all head reasoning. All it does is bring more anxiety. I always wonder, you know, people, they counsel people, but by the way, take all these drugs. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. And this that I'm talking about, it transcends above anything the world has ever even dreamt of. I'm telling you, one sentence from God, it changed your life. A God that knows all their motives, a God that can read minds, a God that knows their thoughts that they don't even know. And as you listen to people, the Holy Spirit will tell you at the intuitive level what the real problem is. And you don't have to get into everybody's dirty laundry. You know what I mean? The Holy Spirit knows it's none of your business. You don't have to get into their dirty laundry. The Holy Spirit, through you, can say things that can open them up in beautiful ways, in love ways. And I'll say this, don't ever, ever, ever try counseling unless you've learned to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, because you will make a mess. An unholy mess. And the fact is, any kind of ministry you go into must be the expression of the mind of Christ. It must be the Holy Spirit at work. And if you're going to counsel, listen to me here, you are going to be the ears of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? You're going to be the ears of the Holy Spirit to become the words of the Holy Spirit speaking into the situation. And God will love that person through you. And then you teach them how to respond to that voice. You learn to hear the voice of God in your work. And I know this for a fact. God knows more about your work than you do. And I've learned this because I used to always have a separation. I called that secular. And I would, you know, I deal in electronics, communication stuff. And so sometimes I would get called to go to work. And I would go out there. There's trouble. And I would go out there and they'd be looking for this trouble. My gosh, I can't find it, you know. It's just, I'm racking my brain. As I went out there not real long ago, it was back in the summer, the Lord just spoke a word in me. He said, can I help? Well, yeah. It'd be a good idea. I mean, this is on the way out there. Well, I already had in my mind where I was going to look for the trouble. Lord said, no, I want you to go here. And I tell you where it is. Y'all know where the Shoney's is in Richlands? There's a signal right there in front of that mobile home place, an automatic signal. He said, go right there. Man, I went right in there. I could have never found that. I wasn't out there 15 minutes. That's driving. I didn't even call the dispatcher to get the track. I walked in there where he told me to put my hands. Things loose, tighten it back up. Dispatch holler. Oh, it's cleared up now. So I bet it is. Back to the house, got paid 3 hours. I wasn't even out there 30 minutes. That's 10 minute drive over, 10 minute drive back. Wasn't in there 10 minutes. He knows more about your work than you do. So there's not a separation. There's not a God on Sunday and a God, you know what I mean? I mean, he knows more about selling cars than Tim. Tim's a good car salesman. I mean, he does. God does. I mean, and he's right there. You're not separated. It's not, okay, well, I'll go do this, and yeah, God, you wait on me, and I'll be back. He knows. He knows more about machinery, machinist, and welding. God, he knows how to weld. You think, well, no, God don't know how to weld. Yeah, he does. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He knows all about it. He can weld rocks together. I mean, Dad can weld steel together, but God can weld rocks together. I mean, have you ever seen that? I mean, the volcano and the heat and it looked like two rocks stuck right together. I mean, how in the world could that be? God says, you can do steel, but I can do rocks. Because he's good. He knows what he's doing. So I mean, really, so we got to learn to hear the voice there too. And it really means that you do your job, but you do it in the wisdom of God. And He teaches you how to become the best possible employee that you can be, and doing the best possible job that you can do. And you're doing it because you're guided from the Holy Spirit. And even when you play. And you know, I thought once you got into church you couldn't play no more. I mean, you know, oh, that's overdone with. I mean, God forbid you can't watch movies anymore. Well, see, I break all the rules. There's not a part of your life He doesn't share. Listen, God is with you when you take your wife out to dinner. Yes. On your anniversary, and it's candlelit dinner. It's not separated. Christ is in you. He knows how to make that a special moment. Yes. If you'll listen to Him. I mean, He does. I mean, He's right there. But we separate it. He knows what it's like. You know, you're away from church and y'all guys want to go fishing, and you're fishing. He knows how to fish. Ask Peter. He knows. He knows how to have a good time. I mean, He loves to laugh. He's full of, He is joy. So all this long faces, you know, well, God, I mean, I missed church Sunday and went fishing. I hope you had a thing sometimes, you know? And I know that, guys, because I mean... You know, He knows what makes me tick. He made me. There are, like, I like to watch movies of all sorts. And in those movies, man, I see things you wouldn't believe. A lot of them I preach about it. I'm like, people don't know. If they knew that I watched that movie, they wouldn't think that's old Holy Jim up there. They probably don't anyway. But you know what I'm talking about. He watched that movie? Yeah, twice. But you know, I mean, well, you guys were talking about that movie, The Green Book. Yeah. Well, Lord, you know, it's not a movie that I would bring in, you know, and put it up on the big screen, because it's got language in it. But you know what, this stuff don't bother me. It's just, some people talk that way. I don't talk that way. Some people, I don't care. You know what I mean? That has nothing to do with my relationship with the Lord. None. So if I hear it in a movie, you know. So whenever I go about these things, I expect to hear the Lord speak. I'm looking for it. Anticipating. There's a hope. There's an expectation. And sometimes I have questions about things, you know, about scriptures. You guys ever have any questions about scriptures? You know, some of the questions that I have, I'm not supposed to have. I'm supposed to be a preacher. I'm supposed to know everything. But listen, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 53 that has puzzled me for years. And I'll give it to you. And you guys are going to think, oh no, we got to have a new preacher. But I'm going to share it with you.
Don't take your suitcase
yet. Yeah. Here's this verse in Isaiah 53 of all places. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. I said, Lord, I know it's true. I know it's true. But you're going to have to open that up to me. Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, that's where I am. So for years I've been, and I'll get little bits and pieces here or there. You know what I mean? Little bits and pieces. I mean, I got a big one today. We might share it later, but I don't know. The chastisement of our peace. I said, Lord, I cannot get a hold of it. I don't know what you're talking about. Chastisement and peace don't seem like they go together. Or if they do, it seems like I'm going to beat you until you have peace. Right? So, you're laughing, but I mean, this is the way I look at scriptures. And God knows that's the way I look at scriptures. So when I'm looking at it, I can quote it. Oh, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. What the heck does that mean? I don't know. I got a good idea now. But I meditate on it. You know? I meditate on it. You know, we talked about this meditate. And I do know this. I've had other questions, and when God gives me the answer, it was right on time. And guess what? His time wasn't my time because I needed to answer now. Or I wanted to know now. But when he gave me the answer, if I would have knew the answer before he gave it, it wouldn't have meant as half as much to me as it did when he gave me the answer. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I had to learn all this stuff on my own. I didn't even know what a commentary was. Okay? Because we grew up King James only, that's it, nothing else. But I've learned, you know, commentaries and all of this other stuff, you know, so my library's gotten a lot bigger. And I would have a question about a scripture, so I'm going to the commentary. Do you guys do that? Okay, so I go to the commentary and I'm thinking, well, you idiot, you don't know either. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know all these other verses getting down to this one, but then when we got there, they skipped it, or they said a little something, and I'm like, come on. I thought, I mean, of all the verses in the Bible to leave out, you left that one out, and that's the one I want to know about. Well, there was a guy, you guys have heard of, named Smith Wigglesworth. And we talked about him as kind of a strange character. I don't know if you knew this, this guy couldn't read anything other than the Bible. God blessed him, all he could read is the Bible. Couldn't read a newspaper. And to me, I can't get that. How could you read a Bible and not read a newspaper? He couldn't read nothing else. I remember that guy, that preacher, remember he was carrying that newspaper, and he was, what's it? He didn't want none of that stuff. And from Smith Wigglesworth's perspective, he thought it was stupid to read any other book. So he wasn't into all these commentaries. That's my point. He wasn't into all those things. But if he didn't understand the text, he would pray and the Holy Spirit would tell him. And when people would ask him questions, he could come back and say everything. They would go back and look it up, and the Greek and the Hebrew and everything the Holy Spirit gave him would match what the scholars had come up with. And he couldn't even read none of that stuff. But he learned to hear the voice of God. And never one time did God, not answer that question. You know, I mean, kind of that's what I was told. You know, well, God wanted us to know that. And I'm thinking, well, he did. He put it in the Bible. He wanted me to know it, or he wouldn't have said, Holy Spirit, write that down. So it's okay for me to ask. Got to learn. And so that explanation, even if I get an explanation from a commentary, I need that inner witness. You know what I mean? If not, it's just dead. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If I don't have that inner witness on that verse, it's just dead. And you can tell, and I know you guys have been around long enough, you can tell when you listen to someone if they're speaking from life or they're speaking from their head and speaking from reason. You know. It doesn't feed your spirit. I mean, there are people, guys, and I know this, that I don't agree with all their doctrine. But man, they feed my spirit. I mean, do you got people like that? I don't agree with everything they say. Who cares? Man, I want to listen to them because they're feeding my spirit. So this thing ain't about, and some people, because of this head knowledge or head reasoning, they're like, well, he said something wrong. I've heard people say, well, he quoted a scripture wrong. I'm not listening to him anymore. If he was really led by the Holy Spirit, he could never quote a scripture wrong. And I think, well, maybe he quoted it right, but he's just got a different Bible version than you got. But who cares if he quoted it wrong or right? You know when somebody is feeding you. So we've got to learn to listen. It's a flow. It's no struggle. It's no sweat. It's no trying. Have you ever had God give you a question and leave you hanging for 6 weeks? Yeah. 6 weeks, 2 years maybe. But then he gives the answer, and the answer that you would have never thought of unless you had the question first. You needed the question. He gave you the question, and then comes the answer. But at the heart of all of this, At the heart of the whole thing is what? Affirming love. Affirming love. Building you up in His holy love. And that's my message to the world. God loves you with an unconditional love. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you did or what you're doing. It's who He is. Many hear, back to that verse over there in Romans, but they don't get it. The reason they don't get it, because they're trying to think about the love of God. It's not for you thinking. We don't think about it. We let God love us. We let God love us. And He loves us by speaking His word, His love word in us, at the heart, at our inner being. That's how we let Him love us. To as many as received Him. He penetrates into our hearts, into our inner being, our inner spirit. I mean, it's one thing to read. Hear me well here. It's one thing to read, God so loved the world. People can quote that. I've seen it painted on people's chest in a football game. God so loved the world. You can even hear it preached, but it's another thing to hear Him say, I love you. Man, you hear that. Your life is forever changed. You're never the same again. Never. When you try to think about it, what you're doing is you're treating God as a topic. You know what I mean? God is not a topic. The other side of this is knowing God and hearing Him speak. This is eternal life, what, that they will know me. Knowing Him means also hearing Him speak. And it's not a do this or a do that. At the heart of what I'm talking about here is affirming love. This is my, you know, He told Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And at our heart level, with our spirit eyes and our spirit ears, you hear Him speak to you. Why? Because you are in Christ. And He says, you are my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Because you're in Him. He's speaking it to you. I'm going to tell you this little story here, and then I'll be done. There was this boxer, and I watched this little thing today, as a matter of fact, and I thought, well, this is awesome. And I always liked this guy, and of course, you know, good Christian people don't watch boxing, but I did. And his name was Evander Holyfield, Evander the Real Deal Holyfield from Alabama. And if you listen to him talk, man, you got to pay close attention, because a guy don't talk real, real well. Most boxers don't. Heavyweights. He was a heavyweight. But I always liked him because he was tough. But he was a Christian. Holyfield's a Christian. So there's coming up this big fight. He's got to fight the bad boy, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, known as the Thug. So we got a battle here of so-called good and evil. We got a Christian that's going to face the Thug, Mike Tyson. Well, they told Evander, you can't win. You know, you're not mean enough. You're not mean enough. Well, long story short here, they fight the first time and Holyfield wins. World champion. So they're going to have a rematch. And I watched this fight. I mean, I watched the boat. And I don't know, it was early on, fourth or fifth round, man, and Holyfield is wearing him out. So Tyson's going to take another butt whipping here. So they get in the clinch. And Mike Tyson bites his ear. And bites a hunk off of his ear. I mean, he still got it. I mean, tore the top half of his ear off. Bit it. It's laying in a wreck. And the next thing you know, Holyfield is jumping up and down. I mean, he said it hurt. People asked him, did it hurt? He said, man, like no pain I've ever had. And he, now this is a Christian. And he said, my first thought was, well, he, let me back up a little bit. He said he had a prophet in the dressing room with him. Say how he said. And he said, the prophet told me when I go into the ring, he said, Mike Tyson is going to do something to your face in that ring. He said, but don't be distracted. He's trying to distract you. Don't be distracted. But he said, when he bit my ear, he said, my first thought was, I wanted to bite him back. And he said, I want this fight to go on. He said, I'm going to bite him right there and rip his cheek off. He said, that was my thought. And he said, from the corner, they're hollering at me. Thank on the Lord, thank on the Lord. And he said, I wanted to punch my corner out. My ear is laying in the floor. And they're trying to quote scriptures to me. You know, and I'm mad. And he said, then the thought came to me, and this is the rated R part. He said, I thought about kicking him right there. And he said, I'm going to get him back. They're saying, you know, don't. You know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. No, vengeance is mine right now. And when they start this fight again, I'm going to blast him. I'm going to, you know, it's going to get over. Now, he's telling it. This is a Christian telling us this whole sequence of events. And he said, after they calmed down a little bit, Mills Lane was the referee. Come to him and said, do you want to continue the fight? And he said, yeah, I want to continue the fight because I wanted to get him back. Any other time, they would have disqualified. But he said, my whole motive was, I want to get him back. So he said, we started the bout again. He said, I hit him a couple times, went into the clinch, and he said, daggone, he bit me again. And he said, this time they stopped the fight. It is pandemonium. I mean, I remember. It's pandemonium. And as Holyfield is leaving the ring, he said the crowd is throwing water on him, water bottles at him, because they had paid big money, thousands of dollars, to get ringside. They wanted to see a fight. It's over in the third or fourth round because of disqualification. So they're throwing stuff at him. And he says, as I was walking back, he said, I began to talk to the Lord. And see, I love this. I mean, this is from a heavyweight boxer. He says, I began to talk to the Lord. And I said, Lord, what is all this about? Half my ears laying in the ring, just disqualified. He didn't get disqualified, but Tyson. And he said, these people are throwing stuff at me. What is all of this about? And he said, the Lord spoke to me. And I thought, here, man, would people even believe that the Lord spoke to him? Because most people think he would make this up. But I believe the man. He said, the Lord spoke to me and says, Evander, this is about forgiveness. I want you to forgive him. So when he walked into the dressing room, his whole staff now, you know, all the trainers and everybody's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, they take my ear up, and I told him, we're going to forgive him. And he said, they looked at me like I was crazy. What do you mean forgive him? He bit your ear off. He said, that's right. He bit my ear. He didn't bite yours. If I can forgive him, you better forgive him, because God just told me this whole thing is about forgiveness. And he said, it wasn't 5 minutes when I got in the dressing room, it was done. I forgave him. He said, we're friends. We even go out on speaking engagements together. And he said, Mike Tyson came to me and asked me, is it okay? And he shared the Lord with Mike Tyson through forgiveness, because Mike Tyson bit his ear off. And he says, what is this all about? It's about forgiveness. He heard God speak. He asked and God spoke. I mean, it's awesome to me. God really is the living God, and he speaks in the middle of a heavyweight boxing match to a guy that asks. I think it's amazing. Anyway.